It's about love. We often think of February being love month. And that's what we want to think about today is, what is it like to love Jesus and to love his church? To love Jesus is to love his church. To love the church is to love Jesus. They're inseparable. There's a sacrifice. There's a journey. There's a rescue. There's a reconciliation. All that's a part of us sitting in the room, loving Jesus and loving his church. So that's what we're going to dive into with Pastor Kyle and I over this next month, is what does that look like for our lives? What does it mean to be a believer in Jesus Christ as his church? What does it mean to live for his kingdom agenda in the world? And how does that look like practically in your life and in my life in four key ways that always build up relationships? Praise, giving, service, and prayer. If you're praising your spouse, if you're giving to your spouse, if you're serving your spouse, and you're praying for your spouse, you got a winning combination. Amen? And that's what Jesus did for the church. That's what we want to do for the church and one another. Before we dive into that, I just want to pause a minute. It's been a tough week. A lot of lives lost in Washington, and a lot of people in this community that are pilots and airline people, military people, are grieving and hurting. And we can't let that pass without pausing for a moment. I know you have, because you are the church. You've been praying for these people. You've been praying for these families. You've been praying for the responders that, you know, have to pick out bodies out of a river. I don't get it. It is hard, and it's beyond difficult. So let's just pause for a moment. Let's gather our hearts, lift them up to God. Lord Jesus, here we are. In our humanness, we meet you, the divine creator. We know that there's life beyond death because you exist, you saved us from our sins, you give us eternity. And yet, Father, we are faced with tragedies where we have life one moment and we have death another. We meet each other, we walk with each other, we lift each other up, Father. We hold each other's arms in the midst of tremendous grief. So, Father, we pray over our nation. We pray over these situations and the one in Philadelphia. Father, for the trials that are going on out west, for all over the place, Father, we are met with real life, real pain, and real struggle. But we are your church. You hold us in your arms. And today we hold up those that come before you with such trial. And our hearts break for them, Father. We ask for your Holy Spirit to comfort them, to walk with them, to journey with them. Let them know of your truth and of your grace. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The church. What does it to mean to love the church? What does it mean to love Jesus and therefore love the church? In our culture, it is easy to live in this individual nature, that it's about me and God. Often in this congregation, we have many that will come and they will hear the word of God. They will give their lives to the Lord Jesus, and they will be baptized and saved. And sometimes we call it a decision that one makes to follow Jesus. And when we say the word decision, what do we think about? It's my choice, right? I made a decision for Jesus. Long before any of us can ever make a decision for Jesus, he made a decision for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He chose long ago to make it possible for you and me to be his bride, the church. Sometimes we think about, well, I can love Jesus, but I don't need to love his church. Listen, there's nothing biblical about that. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you can even have a growing and maturing relationship with Jesus without his church, because they're inseparable. Love and sacrifice is all combined together when it comes to loving Jesus and loving his church and loving Jesus. We can be out there and we can say, well, I know Jesus. Well, we can all know Jesus, but until we are part of his body, we're not a part of Jesus. And to be a part of his body is what is called, biblically speaking, the church. So that's what the struggle we have often is, we allow a cultural religion to come into a biblical religion, and we begin to confuse the two. We think that because our culture thinks this way, that's what the Bible says. But my role with you is to help you understand, what does the Bible say about these things, and how do we begin to live in it? How do we understand the truth of it? Why do sometimes we say, well, I got a relationship with Jesus, but nothing in my life ever changes? Because we're not a part of his body, the church. We're like an arm that fell off and is dying over here, but the real lifeblood is still living because it's connected. So whenever we hear about the church and the body in the Bible, it's always not a me, it's a we. Read it. Whenever it's talked about Jesus, God so loved the world, it's a we that he gave his son for the body, the church. We're never meant to walk alone. We often talk about it as CDK. We're talking about walking with one another and what it means to be truly, truly the church. If you're online with us today, you might be at home. You might be in a place that's far away from other people in the body of Christ. One thing I want to encourage you to grow in the life of the body is to be present with the body. Some of you are online. You can't be for the moment. But I encourage you, find that place, find that community, find that body, because there's no such thing as me and Jesus. It's we and Jesus that makes the body grow. And that's what we want to be talking about. All month long, we want to take a look theologically, which means I want you to understand biblically, but I also want to help you understand it practically. As I'm living with you and you're living with me, there's very practical things that need to happen, right? One of them is I need to prepare a message and I need to stand up here on Sunday morning. It'd get pretty boring to sit here twiddling our thumbs, wouldn't it? But there's other practical things. You get out of bed and you come and you pray and you gather with other people and you hold your arms together and you walk together. Very practical. We gather together and we have a team of worshipers that prepare worship, and we worship, we praise God, very practical. We have an offering, we give, we share with one another, we share our serving, our talents. There's people that greet you, people that are caring for kids, right when we're in this room. That's why it's not so noisy, because all the noise is back there in the hallways. We got people serving coffee and people helping park cars, all these things. The way we serve one another builds up one another, allows for the body to actually function, all the different gifts, and we pray. Where would the church be without prayer? The one thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray. We're a praying church. We have prayer partners available for you. These people are sharing their service in order to live it practically in the world. So all month long, I want us to think about three things. One is, what does it mean to love Jesus and love his church biblically? What does it mean to live that out practically with one another? And what is the difference we see that making in the world? In your chair rack, sorry for those who are on the front row. I'm glad you're on the front row. You have to reach behind you. In the chair racks, there's some pieces of information. One is there's a little commitment card that has praise, giving, service, and prayer. The commitment card. I want you to be thinking about all month long, how do I want to grow in these areas to build up the body of Christ, God's church? There's also in the back of those racks a listing of all the ministries of CTK in category. I want you to understand where those are. I want you to be praying on them. That is the church. Those ministries are happening because you're in the room. Those ministries are happening because you love Jesus and you love his church. Just imagine for a moment on that card that has all the in-reach ministries and outreach ministries. If there was nobody praising, giving, serving, and praying, they wouldn't exist. None of it would exist. None of what you see today happens unless we love Jesus and we love his church. So let's think about what that means. Today, I want to look at one component of Jesus in the church, and it's called love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice in any relationship plays out in very significant ways. I want to lift up three of them. So I want you to think about, how does love and sacrifice work with me and the church and me and Jesus? How does love and sacrifice look like in your relationships and in your marriages? How's it played out? You'll find it amazingly similar. See, Jesus was very practical. He taught us to live in a church like a marriage. He said you commit to one another and it takes love and sacrifice. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. First piece I want to look at. Laying down life for others to shine is about love and sacrifice. It starts with laying down. So if I'm going to think about the church and Jesus and the love for Jesus and his church, it's going to look like laying down life for others to shine. Ephesians chapter 5, 25. I've preached on this passage far more in weddings than on Sunday morning, but it means the same. Paul writes this, his understanding of the new church that is developed. Paul the Apostle writes, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's pretty heavy on you guys, isn't it? All right, listen up. No women poking you in the ribs right now, but listen up, because there's two sides of this equation. As Christ loved the church, he said he gave himself up for her. All right, so once you think about it, guys, start laying your life down for your bride. Ladies, you're going, woohoo. I hope it's not a woohoo, because I hope they're already doing it, all right? But I want you to think about, you and I are the church. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are the church. Okay? Collectively. So Jesus laid his life down for who? The church. And me and you. All right? So what we're talking about, when he was using the image of marriage, he's really saying a marriage is like the church. The church is like a marriage. It's a relationship. And that relationship is love and sacrifice. And part of love and sacrifice is to lay down your life so someone else will shine. So what does that shining look like? He goes on to say in verse 26, that he might sanctify her. That means to be made holy, having cleansing her by the washing of the water and the word. By washing of the water and the word. So look at that. What that meant in the New Testament is that Jesus Christ loved you, gave his life for you, the church, cleansed you by two means. Through your baptism, the washing that comes in baptism, that imagery that as I go into the waters, I die to myself and I rise to Christ. Okay, that's what it means to live for the Lord. He says, take up your cross and follow me. We no longer live life on our terms. We live life on his terms. We've died to ourselves. We rise to Christ. The other is the washing and the word. And that meant when you were baptized in the first century, when you were baptized, you recited the gospel. You recited the words of truth. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Paul writes, he says, when you confess in your heart and speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved, right? Okay, so this washing of the word, it was the confession of faith. He says, you are made holy, you are sanctified through the washing of the water and the word of God's grace and truth. Isn't that awesome? You didn't do anything, and neither did I. I'm made holy not because I got it right, because I'm not, and you're not. I'm holy because I simply profess Jesus as Lord of my life, that he washed me clean by his blood on the cross, and I get the privilege of, I get to be his church. Isn't that awesome? It's a love and sacrifice. Jesus did it all. And he's saying, husbands, why don't you try that with your spouse? Lay your life down and help your spouse be beautiful and holy and awesome because you're laying down your life so that would happen. But collectively, we're doing it for Jesus. Jesus is doing it for us. We're doing it for one another. He goes on to say in verse 27, so that we might present the church, you and me, to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It means that Jesus did some pretty good laundry. No spot or, you know, I was looking at that tablecloth this morning we put out there for community groups. I said, man, there's a lot of spots on this cloth. Did it get washed? And I heard it was. I guess it stained, right? You know, my life is like that. I got some stains that aren't going away in this side of heaven. You probably have some too. We call them scars. But even at that, when I love Jesus and I'm a part of his church, he doesn't see those stains. He just sees beautiful me. I look in the mirror. I don't see beautiful me. But Jesus does, and that's how he looks at you, because you're his body. It's love and sacrifice. He loves you so much. He didn't see all that stuff. He washes it, he cleanses it, and he says, I present you before God. You are the church, love and sacrifice. I'm doing it so you can have it. It's about love, and we learn to live it in that kind of way. And then he goes on a little bit further. He says, in verse 29, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Jesus Christ cherishes you and nourishes you, but he says no one ever hates his own flesh, but you're members of his body. So who else is the flesh of the body in this church? Look to your left and look to your right. Look behind you. You can literally say it like, nobody in church ever hates anybody else in church. Oh my, that's painful, isn't it? Love and sacrifice, right? You know, we don't always get along. We don't always think alike. But what he's saying, it takes love and sacrifice to cherish someone else in the body like your own body when you can't get along with them. It takes love and sacrifice. And I don't know about you, I want to live it like Jesus, because when we live it like Jesus, this place gets pretty good. But if we don't, we kind of walk in going, we don't sit with that person. We walk together. Love and sacrifice. It looks like laying down lives for others to shine. There's another neat, beautiful image that looks like love and sacrifice, and that's rescuing and reconciling. We see that in Jesus and the church as well. When we are sharing love and sacrifice, a natural part of your life and mine is always rescuing and reconciling. Because things are always broken. There's not a relationship ever that won't have brokenness in between it. There won't have times of offense because we are individuals, we think differently, we act differently, and there will always be that time. Love and sacrifice demands that we're always on the rescue and the reconciliation work. If you think that was over because you fixed a problem, think again. Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins once and for all. But I still, because of my sin, get distant from Jesus. So I have to rework it. I have to remember. I have to be chased down by his love when I'm reading the word. I have to get broken down to my knees and say, yes, you're pursuing me again. I am sorry. I confess my sin. And you are faithful and you forgive me. See, Jesus is always on the rescue and the reconciliation as I must be with you and you must be with me and one another. He goes to say, and it's beautiful, in Romans chapter 5, Paul writes it up like this. He says, when we were utterly helpless, that's you and me. Some of the problem we have with Jesus is we don't think we're helpless enough. We can do it without him. What he's talking about, when you are utterly helpless to save yourself, and you are, Christ came just at the right time while we were still sinning. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Well, nothing's changed there. And since we have been made right with God in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. And for since our friendship with God was restored, reconciliation, by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now, we, plural the church, can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with him. Wow. Jesus and the church, you can't separate them. He chases down like the hound of heaven. He's always rescuing. He's always reconciling. But there's a different, there's one thing to rescue. There's a whole other thing to reconcile. That's why both are critical. It's not enough for me just to help someone get back to a stable place, rescue them. It's not enough for me just to spread the gospel to someone who doesn't know the Lord. Remember, believers are the church on mission in the world, but there is an unbelieving part of the world that is not saved. We need to understand that and know that. That's why we have a mission in the world, because there's a place to go to. And when you walk out these doors, there are people that don't know Jesus and they are not saved, okay? So we have to know that there's a movement. The church is the kingdom of God, believers on earth with a movement on the face of the earth for a purpose and a reason. All right. So, but it's not enough for me just to announce the gospel, go rescue, so to speak, throw out a life ring. Also, when I throw out that life ring, I need to do what? I need to reel it in. That's relationship. Jesus didn't just rescue us. God could have rescued us by just sitting up in heaven and going, they're forgiven. But he didn't do that. He came to us, formed a relationship with us that we might know the Father, and we might walk with him in truth and in life. That's part of how we live as the body in the world. We walk in that relationship with Jesus. We walk in that relationship with one another. And we're sent to rescue and reconcile in the midst of the world. It is the mission in which we live. It is called love and sacrifice. It calls us, when we love enough, if I love the lost enough, what am I going to do? Rescue and reconcile. If I love my spouse enough and we've got a chasm between us, then I'm going to what? I'm going to come home from work and I'm going to rescue and reconcile. You see, it's marriage. It's a connection. And it takes these things in order to live in a healthy relationship. To be a healthy church is a part of laying down life so the others shine, and constantly in a journey of reconciliation and rescuing so that we walk together as one body, because we're not individuals. The third one is this that I want to lift up, and that's adoration and care. Love and sacrifice shows itself in adoration and care. Okay, adoring someone. When I love someone enough, I adore them. And adoration is described, it's heard, it's seen for what one can be, not for one where one is. It is for who you are, not for what you did. Revelation 21, beautiful image of it. In Revelation 21, John on the Isle of Patmos sees a vision of the new church. The church in heaven, okay? We live on the church in earth. The church on earth is broken. It's in part, but it's going to be perfect someday. John sees the vision of the perfect, and it comes out like this. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw," get this, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem," okay? Now, the old Jerusalem, we can say, is it just a location? No. In the old Jerusalem, it can be considered the place in Israel, Jerusalem. It was the place of the temple, the place where God dwelled, the place where the people were. It's why Jesus went to Jerusalem. That place is, figuratively, we can think about it as the church, the believing body, is the Jerusalem. It is the place where God is with us. Jesus says, "When you go out into all the world, I am with you always to the end of the age." The promise is still there, but what John is saying, there's a new Jerusalem. Well, the new Jerusalem is the perfect image of what? The old Jerusalem. So if you're a part of the old Jerusalem, what it means is you are a part of his church. You are a believing community. You're on his mission in the world. When you're a part of the old church, even in the midst of its brokenness, the body of Christ, then you are also going to be a part of what? The new Jerusalem. And listen how he describes it. He says it's coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Now get this, church. The former and the latter. We live in the former. There are tears. There is pain. There is struggle. And there is death. And there is division. But the former things are passing away. That we will see a place as God's church that looks beautiful and perfect. And God wipes it all away. What does that look like in the imperfect, what we got today? What it means today is we're doing that. We're reconciling, we're loving, we're laying down life in such a way that we can share with somebody that's moving on. Your new life in Christ has hope. That brokenness that was a part of your life, let's leave that behind. Let's experience this new walk in Christ. That offense that we had with one another, it's in the past now. We can walk together with the Lord. That struggle that you've been in, now that we've been walking this thing out, it is the former. Now we walk together. You see, we begin to see what I call inbreakings of the kingdom. We get to see what heaven will look like in part on earth, because we wipe away the tears and we walk with one another in death and we care for one another in the brokenness, and we get to see lives being transformed, the former to the new. That's how Jesus showed us. And that's why he looks and says, you're beautiful. You're my church. You're my church in all its imperfection, and you're my church in all its perfection. Now we do in part, but we will see it perfect in heaven. Love and sacrifice is about love. Laying down life so that others may shine. It's about constantly rescuing and reconciling. It's about adoring one another and caring for one another. For one of these days, we're the bride, where God says, I am with you always. I've always meant to dwell with you. The one thing that will never change is God's presence. Tears will go away, death will go away, trial will go away, brokenness will go away, but one thing that's not going to go away is the one thing he yelled from heaven. I am with you, and I belong with you on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? You see, to love Jesus is to love his church. And to love his church is to love Jesus. You cannot separate them. Kyle will talk more about that piece next week. But we live it practically with one another. And in that card I shared with you, and in the sheet that talks about the ministries that is looking like these two cards, you can take one home with you if you like. And study with it all week. We'll walk with it all month. Begin to think about right now, what does it mean to praise? If I can learn to praise God, I can probably learn to praise you. Why do we praise God? Today, I just want you to think about one aspect of praise, and that one aspect, just praise God for who he is. Not for what he gave you. That's Thanksgiving. Just praise him for who he is. Praise him because he's excellent and awesome. Praise him because he's perfect. Praise him because he's holy. Praise him because he created everything. Praise him because he saved you. Praise him because he knows all things. Praise him because he's powerful. He's grace-filled. Just praise him. When we learn to praise him for who he is, we can look at our neighbor and do the same. Praise. Another one you'll see on this card I want you to commit to is giving. Part of my relationship with Marilyn and part of my relationship with you is that we're givers, okay? Giving is a hallmark aspect. It is the cornerstone of what makes relationship work. God so loved that he gave, right? So we learn to give. We learn to prioritize. When we give, we put in a position of honor and priority someone. The Bible speaks about giving to God as first fruits. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruit of all your produce. It looks like planning. That's what I want you to think about this week. Next week, we'll look at a different piece. To love and sacrifice looks like I actually plan to make a difference and give in my life. Think about that when you think about, how do I want to love God's church? What does it mean to prioritize him? Another one is service. How does any relationship work without serving? That's what we see throughout. We serve one another. I always tell couples, I said, if you keep serving one another, you'll get an upward spiral. But the moment one of you says, he or she's not serving like I am, I think I'll hold back. You start a downward spiral. And it gets really messy. Serving. I want you to think about serving. I want you to think about serving the way that God talks about serving us. And how do we serve? By serving God all the days of my life. The Bible says in Luke 1, it says, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days. Don't just serve him once or twice. Make it your lifestyle. I want you praying about that this month when you look at that serving category. What would it look like if I serve God all the days of my life? That I wake up in the morning and go, you are worthy of serving. What does it look like when I say that to my spouse, when I say that to you? I will serve you all the days of my life. The last one I want us to focus in on this month is prayer. And I gave you a little acronym there, ACTS, Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We'll talk about each of those. Today, adoration. I just want you to think about how can you just adore God? How can you adore your neighbor, the person sitting in the seat beside you, behind you, in front of you? How can you live life of adoration? It's kind of praise, right? It kind of goes along with praise, but it's adoring. It says that God looks at the church and adores the church. Adoration makes relationships healthy because it's not about what you get. It's about who you are. I want us to think about that. Through our praise, through our giving, through our serving, and through our prayer, as we live in God's church, there's a movement of mission. And that movement of mission changes the world. On that sheet we gave you that we want you to be praying through all month is all the internal ministries and all the external ministries. And what I often hear from people is, whoa, I didn't realize our church was doing all of that. We are a move of God to a world that's being changed. Just one of those areas is the impact of community groups. If we weren't doing community groups, if we didn't exist as a church, everybody would be in isolation. And we never grow in isolation. I want to ask a couple couples, come up. Reyes, come on up if you will. Yogesh, Sathya, come on up if you will. Give these guys some encouragement. I want to close out today. Come on into the light. Come on over. I want to close out today. I just want you to understand a moment that when it comes to loving Jesus, it means to love His church. To love His church is to love Jesus. If that's not going on, these people aren't on the stage, and these people aren't able to share with you that by being with other people, we're growing in Christ. So one thing we chatted about earlier in the week, we said, what difference does it make that you're not home alone? I think there's a movie about that. You're not home alone trying to grow in faith. What difference has a community made because the church exists? Anybody want to share that? Hold it nice and close.
Thank you. So I think one of the aspects of being with other couples and part of the community is just to learning how to face different problems and how to tackle them. As a Christian, as a human being, just learning from other couples how you can definitely find peace, comfort in difficult times. That's something I learned.
Thank you. Anybody else?
So for us, it was an answered prayer when we were invited by the church to join a community group. We were actually praying for a fellowship, and my husband and I, we realized that pursuing this faith journey is not something we could do by ourselves, and we needed a group of fellow believers who will pour into our lives through their faith-stirring testimonies and godly encounters. And especially for our children, it was a big assurance that they're not alone in this faith journey, and it's not just our family that is doing this. And it has strengthened us in our faith journey a lot through the assurance of other believers. And our children's life has changed tremendously because of the community group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a big blessing.
Yeah, I can't imagine what any of your lives would be like if you didn't have a church. There was no community to help you grow. And I've known you guys for a little while now. Was that? Share with us a little bit. It takes sacrifice, doesn't it? There's a shift, love and sacrifice, that you weren't in a group, and then you are in a group. That took some sacrifice, didn't it? In fact, it snowed one night, and you still showed up. It took some sacrifice, the one snow we had in the South. What does sacrifice look like for someone, say, in the church matters? Anybody share with that?
Yeah, I want to say that when it comes to sacrifice, like just looking at the cross and what Jesus has done for us, and it's a broken world out there. We have been in a situation where we have tried to, be in the world with worldly friends, and it still had that big void in our hearts. So when we decided, it was hard for us to take that step to be in a community, to take that initiative, to make that time and the energy to go out there and be with a bunch of believers who share the same faith journey and pursuit as God. That sacrifice, like, from it comes from the place of the cross where Christ died for us. And taking the small initiative, God has honored every single step, even when the enemy throws some kind of stumbling blocks when we try to go there. It could be during a snow or a traffic or a work situation. But God has enabled us and honored when we try to take that step. He has taken 10 steps ahead and helped us not see it as a sacrifice, but just blessed us to a point where, like, you know, you took this 2 steps and now here I am, trying to push you forward to where I want you to be part of my body and the fellowship. I think that's what I see.
So sacrifice always starts a little bit feeling like sacrifice. We know what that's like, right? But there's a blessing on the other side. That's the love and sacrifice. When Jesus sacrificed for our sins, he did as his Father desired him. But we all get the blessing of that. So when we pour out, we begin to see the other side of what God has designed for our lives. But it means there's a change. Anastasia, you serve a lot in the life of the church, and it takes time and to pour out. What is that like for you, and what do you receive back from pouring out that serving?
Good morning, church. Well, it's love, what I receive back. All the giving... Since I came to Mom Call, it's my community. That's how I start coming here to this church. We start as a family. So it's the love that I've received as a human being, as a mom, all the fellowship all together. So it's just, like you mentioned before, sacrifice and love go together, because if we don't feel like I'm broken, I feel some fellowship. I feel some moms together. So we can pray, we can just talk about the experience that we have every day in our lives, marriage, kids, all that. So it's a wonderful experience.
And it makes me think about when you look at that sheet, you'll look on the outreach side of that sheet, Momco's on there. What if that didn't exist? Yeah, it's hard to imagine what if it didn't exist, but you wouldn't be here. That's right. That's how real this gets. And when we talk about love and sacrifice and the ways that we pour out praise and giving and service and prayer, it's so those things are missions in the world that bring you on a stage with your husband, you guys from India, coming in, learning about the Lord, giving your lives to Christ, living because somebody loved and sacrificed. That's what it means. Good. Give these guys some encouragement. Thank you.